packets are online. So the goal today is to discuss the Tzitz Eliezer's approach to understanding the Ramah, which admittedly is one of the more simpler to understand, because it's maybe the easiest. He just says everything straight out. You don't have to guess where things are coming from, except for one place. We'll go through the Tzitz Eliezer in the different places. We'll go through what he discusses, ventilators on, and then we'll try to do it for Shlomo Zalman. Then we'll do the new Israeli law and ventilators on timers and how that tries to put two things together and sort of comes up with a third that neither of the two that it's based on would hold of. Okay, so we discussed Tzitz Eliezer says pretty much you have to do everything to extend life as long as possible. We saw it in the first tshuva, that was in Ramas Rachel, in the Chalak Hay. And on page 3 of the packet, he says, first of all, he just says we pass in like the Shvus Yaakov over the Beis Yaakov, you are Mechal Shabbos for Goses. He says, Kazin and the Kola Poskim disagree with him. Then if you look in Os Hay at the bottom, on the right column here, on page Lam Ches, it's the third page of the packet. Vim came lefizah nilmad gam l'shev ha-sein, and because again, she has chiyuv l'asos ma'amatsim b'chol ha-tzalas nefesh ha-goses. If there's a heter chilul Shabbos, there must be a chiyuv pikuach nefesh. Otherwise, why can you mechal Shabbos? You can only mechal Shabbos because there's a mitzvah to save his life. There's a mitzvah to save his life. It's a chiyuv pikuach nefesh. You have to do so. So that's how he understands that. So he doesn't tell you how he talks about it. He doesn't really address the Ramah at all here. Just in the next piece, in Kaftas here, he talks about you can't kill people no matter what, even if they're suffering. So I just gave you that because it's the next piece if you want to see it. The next tshuva I have from the Tzitz Eliezer is really about dying, is about davening for death. Are you allowed to daven for death? So the famous Ran, the famous Ran in Nedarim, says that the Gemara there says if you're ein nichnas levaker et achola ein mispal av lo sheyichya ve lo sheyomus. So what does that mean? You don't daven for him, neither he should live or he should die. The Gemara seems to be saying you're not helping him out in any way. The Ran says, oh, sometimes you're supposed to daven for death. It's okay to daven for death. There's a mitzvah to daven for death. Because you see from the Amta de Rebbe, Rebbe's handmaiden, right? So he was dying, and the whole base medrash was saying tillim and davening that he should live, and he was living. And she said, oh, he rotsun shechufi tachtonim et alyonim, that the base medrash should be successful. And then she saw that he was having so much tzar putting on an office tefillin every time he'd go to the bathroom. Interesting way to describe his tzar. So she said, that the Bezdin Shalmala should win out over the Bezmedra Shalmata, that he should die. So, okay, that might be the Raya. And then, that wasn't working, because he was still alive, so she took a vase and threw it from the roof to the ground, it smashed the Bezmedra, so I'll stop davening for a minute, and he died. And the Gemara moves on. So the question is, do we paskin like this Ran at all? So the Ran says, you see from here, it's, you can daven for someone to die, because she did.
Is that a Maisa Shaya, or
that's what happened. The Gemara just says it.
Oh, the Gemara
brings it down. So the question is, so the Ran says from there, oh, you see... So the question is, we do bring Raya from her. So Tzitz Eliezer points out, first of all, we never bring a Raya from her when she's against the whole base medrash.
Right.
So the whole base medrash clearly didn't agree with her. Or, you could say, no, they agreed, they just didn't want to.
Or
they
didn't know the Messiah, that he was having so much trouble.
Yeah, so that's one way, but I don't know why they would say that. The Gemara doesn't make that chiluk. And Tzitz Eliezer points out, he says, whoa, it's a Ran on the Darim. We always had the Ran in the Darim. Everyone learned the Ran in the Darim. Nobody ever quoted the Ran in the Darim. Nobody ever quoted this Ran in the Darim. It's not in the Rambam, it's not in the Riff, it's not in Shulchan Aruch. I mean, the Riff wouldn't have quoted the Ran in the Darim. The Rambam wouldn't have quoted the Ran in the Darim, but they never bring this point down. The Shulchan Aruch doesn't quote it. Nobody has ever quoted it until pretty much the Pharisee Yisrael. And the Aruch HaShulchan quoted it. But up until that point, nobody ever quotes it. And he says they all learned the Darim. So the pshat is, we just don't paskin like that Ran in the Darim. The only reason I really brought it here, that's a separate issue unto itself, he says, wait a minute, you always have to do everything in your power to save someone's life. You're Mechal Shabbos to save a Goses. So if you look at the bottom of page Kuf Tzadi, at the end of Simon Mem Ches and Sechelik Tes, he says, V'gam Mechal and Nisa Shabbos Avur HaRachas Chaim Kaila, even if it's Chai Isha, even if the person's not conscious, he went through a whole Ma'aracha to tell you, you have to keep him alive as long as possible. V'eich Nuchal Eifo Lovo Lach Riel Pi Svaros Shehima B'yosa Rig Shio Shemutar Lid Palo Lach Tzaras Chaim Kaila. How can you come with Svaros to say, really, it's okay to daven for someone to die when they have a mitzvah to keep him alive? He thinks that's a stira. If you have a mitzvah to keep the man alive, it's a stira to then daven that he should die. Other poskim, and then he says, yeah, Einanu Eisik Vanestaros. We have to do what we're supposed to do. The Torah said keep him alive. You don't worry about what's better for his cheshbon and his neshama. Don't get into that. He says there's a stira between keeping him alive and davening for death. Other poskim disagree. Rabbi Bleich, who generally agrees with the Tzitz Eliezer's mahalach on keeping people alive, he says, but why do you have to keep... He says we should treat ourselves, our bodies, our neshamas like a shomer. I'm a shomer on my body, and my body does not belong to me. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives it to me for a certain amount of time, and I relate to it as a shomer. And I have to protect the kidinatri inchi, just like normal people do. I have to do all the things that normal people do to protect themselves, and I have to do that for myself. there's no reason that a shomer can't daven that his chiyuvei shmira should end. As long as he's fulfilling all his chiyuvei shmira, there's no contradiction to the fact that he just wants them to disappear. So he would think, in theory at least, we could paskin like this Ra, and the Ra is not a contradiction to the chiyuv pekach nefesh.
So the mashal of the cat.
What the mashal of the cat?
Imagine that somebody gave either a cat to take care of while they went on away for vacation. So a week later, the cat like tearing up the furniture and like causing all kinds of mayhem. So could you just kill the cat? No, you couldn't because you agreed to take care of it. But you could call up your friend and say, please come back early and take your cat away.
He doesn't see a steer between the two.
Here too, you say, please, living in Olam Hazeh is giving me a lot of trouble, and please take it away. But that doesn't give you the right to shorten life or not to preserve it.
Yeah.
Just because I'm mispala for somebody to go ahead and die doesn't mean that God has to accept.
Right. Yeah. No. So I'm just pointing out the titillation thinks those two things go together.
No, but I'm
saying black things they don't go together.
No, I'm saying
that's his point.
What?
I think he's making your point, right? Yeah.
No, is he?
I think he's saying even more than you. And even if he would be miskabel, even if it would be automatic, it would still be mutter.
But I'm saying the fact of the matter is that God is the gatekeeper still.
Right.
What's the point of the tzitzilism, right?
God, if God didn't want... Just the fact that you're asking for God's disregard, you're not causing him to die.
So I'll ask you, why we daven ever? I'm not causing anything when they daven. So, okay, but we daven. He's just pointing out that he thinks that we should... I don't want to discuss the Ran because
there's two potential reasons why you might say it's us or the daven or something like that. One is because you believe that what you're doing has some kind of impact, and then you'd have to connect that with the sugya of can you send a telegram on Shabbos to have a tzaddik daven for somebody? Is that called like regular pikuach nefesh? I mean, you might look at it from that perspective, and you're saying like, well, God decides whether your tefillah is going to be accepted or not, so that's not you're not really doing anything. The other reason is because it's just not appropriate. You're supposed to daven for appropriate things. And this is not an appropriate thing to daven for.
Right, Tzitzel just seems that it's not inappropriate. He says we should try to keep him alive until daven should die. The only reason I'm bringing this in is because he thinks they go together.
It's like a bad thing or some isser? Because a bad thing is that would go.
He said you shouldn't do it. He definitely says you shouldn't do it.
Isser? I don't.
He doesn't say.
No.
He definitely says you shouldn't do it. It definitely goes against the spirit of trying to keep the guy alive. I think we all agree to that. The Rabbi Bleich says, you're right. It does go against the spirit. There's nothing wrong with that. I don't want to talk about the Ran, because even if we do paskin like the Ran, that you're allowed to daven for people to die, what you're allowed to say, what you should say is, Rav Avadia, for example, paskins, we paskin like the Ran, it's mutterless, palos, misha yomus. And what should you say? You said, yihi ratzon, that this person should have a refuah shleima. Okay. And if, for a nigzer exera, he should have no yisurim. And if we didn't paskin like the Ran, what would you say? I have no idea. Okay, whatever. My point was only that Tzitzelator thinks that these two things go hand in hand, that the fact that we have to keep him alive as long as possible, that should teach us at least about our attitude, that we should really not do anything against that. We should really try to do our best to keep him alive as long as possible, and davening for the opposite effect is definitely not helping that situation. Fine. So now if we turn the page to the next one, this is where it starts getting interesting. So what about the Rama? We know he should keep him alive as long as possible, and keep him alive as long as possible. We saw the Rama says, you can remove the salt and you can stop the woodchopper. So how does that fit into the Tzitzelator's halach? So in Chelek Yud Gimel Simen Pei Tes, there's a very famously quoted tshuva, and so the shaila is, can we remove respirators? Can we turn patients on the ventilator? Can I shut off the ventilator? Now for some reason he quotes the whole shaila, and then he repeats what he thinks is the essence of the shaila. Yeah, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7-ish. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, yeah.
Page Kuf
Ayin Beis. Yeah, Kuf Ayin Beis. It says, Chelek Yud Gimel Simen Pei Tes. So he says, we know that some people oppose. So this is by Dr. David Meir, who's the CEO of, effectively CEO of, sorry, Tzedek Hospital. So he says, look, we're not going to shut off respirator, ventilators, that's usher. He assumes it's usher. Okay? But tell us what you think about that. And B, what we want to do is the following. He says, look, we have many doctors who aren't going to shut off ventilators, and we have patients who aren't going to want to shut off ventilators, so let's come up with the following. When I initially hook up the patient to a ventilator, so why do I hook up a patient to a ventilator? Because I think it'll get better. Someone comes into the emergency room and can't breathe, I hook him up to a ventilator if he's not breathing because I hope he'll get better. Sometimes it turns out that he's not getting better. Right? It's just, I don't know that on the spot. Often, I think he might get better. But if he's not getting better, some people might want to shut off the ventilator at that point. That may or may not present a halachic problem, which he'll deal with. He says, if it does present a halachic problem, which he's anticipating the answer, but the Tzitzelator is already paskin, most poskim are not going to let you shut off a ventilator. That's just a fact. So he says, well, what if when we hooked him up initially, we'll put him on a timer? on like a week and a half, a 2 week timer, special timer they'll develop. Because why? We'll put him on the timer for 2 weeks. And if he gets better, Baruch Hashem, he'll come off the ventilator. And if he doesn't get better, so the timer will go off. And if we want to restart the ventilator, we'll restart the ventilator. If we don't want to restart the ventilator, we'll just won't restart the ventilator in B'Shev Al Taisa. Is that going to be okay? He's assuming that the difference in the Ramah, meaning he's assuming already in the Ramah, that the difference is going to be between Kumvase and Shev Al Taisa. And therefore, if the ventilator goes off by itself, I have no responsibility to turn it back on. That would be a Kumvase, which I don't have to do in certain circumstances. But B'Shev Al Taisa, I won't violate Lo Samar Al Damreyecha. So this might be an Eitzah. So that's just Eliezer's way of getting into this discussion. So we'll talk about that. Is that a kumvase, putting him on timer, and then maybe I didn't treat him appropriately?
But it's not a violation of Lo Samar Al Damreyecha to do
Shabbat test. Oh, no, no. Professor Meir, David Meir is assuming that. That's the assumption of the question, meaning he's saying, will this help?
But isn't the lashon of the pasuk, don't stand by an issue like... Don't
right, no. So maybe by a geisus, maybe by someone who's suffering, maybe someone who's dying, there's no violation of Lo Samar Al Damreyecha. There might be, and I don't have to do a kumvas, but I'm not allowed. No, sorry. I'll be clear. When by certain people, why is the Ramah allowed to do asar samoneah? Because in some case, why is the Ramah telling? Because there's no lo samon al amreacha, right? But nonetheless, I can't do something active. So to turn off the ventilator, that's going to be active. That's going to be asar. But to not do anything, that would be lo samon al amreacha, which doesn't apply in this case.
Did we ever discuss why lo samon al amreacha wouldn't apply by gosis?
We said that some people. That's what we're going to see now. Why the Ramah? It seems like the Ramah says no. Right? Question is why. So now we're going to see why the different sheet doesn't have that effect on Lamaisa. Yeah.
Is there ever a case where like someone's on a ventilator and if you take the ventilator out, they'll still be alive for a bit?
Yes. Like, most that, patients. Almost all that, patients.
Would that be any different than the timer though? Most as long as there's a...
Even brain dead patients will live for at least 5 minutes. The Harari, we do an apnea test.
So would that be as much of a disconnect as the timer?
So or? We'll talk about it. Yeah. So the Rav Zalman Nechemya thinks that's a very important difference.
When you say live, you mean the heartbeats?
I don't care how you're defining live. However you're defining live,
I just mean that they're
define
not,
live according
they're
to your
not, like,
own criteria.
To die. Like, they don't all of a sudden start.
If you think that death is, if you think that death is,
no, that thing too.
They have difficulty with breathing. They'll have
like,
difficulty.
Then they begin to like lose.
If you assume that, let's die. Say we're talking about a non-brain dead patient, so everyone thinks the patient's alive, and we're not going to test for brain death, and his heart will still beat for a good while after you take the ventilator off. How long will depend on how bad he's doing, but it will not stop the moment you take the ventilator out.
Right.
Now, how long, what if it stops 2 seconds later, 5 seconds later, 10 seconds later? At some point, what if it stops 10 years later? At some point, the heart will stop when you take off the ventilator, right? At some point. Is that going to matter or not? We'll talk about that. Okay. And whether it should, what difference that should make will depend on why is turning off the ventilator usher, according to some postgame, if it is usher. That's the assumption of the question. That's the question. That was the assumption of the question. He's assuming that, or he's saying, practically, I have doctors who aren't shutting off ventilators. And I have patients who are refusing to shut off ventilators. I don't really care why they're doing it. Is this an Eitzah to alleviate this problem?
If his heart is still beating and his brain is still functioning, then why would there even be a have me to go ahead and say take him off the ventilator? Because he's suffering. No.
So I said, hey, first of all, Klal Gadol, we always treat suffering no matter what. Sister Eliezer is the one who says, by the way, that treating suffering is b'chal mitzvah kofet. So why would you want to take him off a ventilator? I'll pee halacha or I'll pee hashkafa or I'll pee doctors?
No, I'm saying I'll pee halacha.
Why would you want to? You're never obligated to.
If he's alive according to all criteria, then...
Maybe he's suffering, so it's mutter.
So hasar samoneh.
You have to tell me it's hasar samoneh, right? Or that it's mutter for some other reason. Or that... We'll talk... Why... Let's talk... Why you would want to shut it off is to let him die.
I understand practically.
Practically, yeah. Let's be blunt. The reason you're turning it off is that he should die sooner.
But if he's not dead according to
any... He's not dead according to anybody.
If he's dead, then you should be able to turn the ventilator off.
Hold that thought.
If the patient's dead.
Hold that thought. Just hold the thought.
The point is that presumably you're not obligated to continue to treat and help extend life in all circumstances, but you're never allowed to kill people.
Never allowed to kill people.
Even by indirect means. So the key point there is that you want to, A, avoid killing this person even by any kind of indirect means, right, even kind of gram mitzicha, and B, you want to make sure that you're not negligent on your obligation to treat a person.
But if that were true, why can you do the salt thing?
So for some reason,
A, you're not considered to be killing him, and B,
so you're not considered to be
killing yeah.
to be killing.
You have
him,
to
and
tell
B,
me why.
And
even
B,
indirectly, it's still
right. And B, you're not considered to be negligent on your obligation to treat a gosis and we pass on you, I'm mechuyev to treat a gozes. So for some reason, this is not considered negligence in treating a gozes. So yeah, those two things have to be explained. Depending on how you explain those two things, that's how you'll apply it to modern situations.
Right. So the modern posim are all going to try to explain why is the Rama mutter. Explain to me the Rama, and then I'll explain to you what modern situation, what relevance that has to real life today.
Question.
You have to tell me why the Rama, but you have to why the Rama says those apply. Yeah.
I know we don't deal with this so much, but according to American law, so if a person's heart's beating and they have brain stem activity and higher brain.
The
function,
brain stem does not affect your brain activity.
Okay, you have brain activity.
Yeah.
So
they're alive. You can try to find therapy. Yeah, you can refuse therapy no matter what.
You can withdraw care at any point.
You can withdraw care at whatever point.
There's a whole category called donation after cardiac care.
Forget donation. It's not no, donation. You can refuse care at any point.
Pull out the patient's ventilator and watch them die.
And that right.
And
that's
as soon as they die, we count. That's
a different machlokes. That's not assisted suicide. A patient. There's a difference considered between. This is an issue we discussed before, but if the patient said turn it off, that's not considered suicide. But if the patient wants it on and I turn it off, I killed him. Yeah. And he dies, I would be legally responsible in American law.
Why, if he's alive according to all criteria...
Is it mutter in American law? Because I have the right to refuse therapy.
Right.
The American law does not distinguish
not
between withdrawing... Oh, so hold on. So let's assume you're alive. Let's say you're conscious first, because it's easier. The American law does not distinguish between withholding therapy and withdrawing therapy. Meaning not initiating or turning it off. I'm allowed to refuse therapy at any point that I want.
During therapy.
During therapy, before therapy, whatever I can do. So once I'm conscious, I can choose to do that. When I'm unconscious, so decisions have to be made on my part. Bechlal. So who makes decisions? So I can have a healthcare proxy who effectively is my mouth. And he can speak for me, and therefore he can speak on my behalf and say whatever I would want, and he's as if I am speaking. If there's no healthcare proxy, and everyone should have a healthcare proxy, it's just important, it's morbid, but you should have a healthcare proxy, it saves a lot of legal problems. If there's no healthcare proxy, there's a surrogate decision maker, someone has to make decisions on your behalf, and then different states have different laws about who becomes your surrogate decision maker.
In New York, there was a law passed in 2010 called the New
York. But that just says, that just effectively makes everything the same.
It delineates who would be the surrogate.
No, but they always had a law delineating who would be the surrogate. The law said something different.
Right, it's changed to allow domestic partners.
Okay, fine. Now, the law had a more important chiddush. The more important chiddush, so then that person can speak on my behalf also and refuse therapy. It used to be in New York State until it was 2010 that according to most states, except for New York and Missouri, a healthcare proxy and a surrogate decision maker have the same power. They can opt into therapy and withhold therapy and withdraw therapy. It used to be in New York State and in Missouri that a surrogate decision maker could not withdraw nutrition or ventilation unless there was clear and convincing evidence that that's what the patient would have wanted.
Clear and convincing evidence to whom?
To the judge. Right? A healthcare proxy could say, I never spoke to this person ever in my life, but I'm the healthcare proxy, I'm his mouth, I can do whatever I want. The surrogate, best interest
of care, right.
No, it's heter gomer. As long
care,
as the patient
be in best interest. It have to be within the best interest.
No, it doesn't have to be in the best interest of the patient. As long as it's in the phrase is, as long as it's in
judgment.
No, it doesn't have to be substitute judgment. That's the theory. As long as it's not completely like krum. There's a way to say it though. As long as it's not in bad faith. As long as it's not in bad faith, whatever that means, as long as it's not in bad faith, which is an ambiguous term on purpose, you can do whatever you want.
If
the patient's like, save me, save me, save me, save me, save me, and then he passes out, and the guy's like, don't save him, that's bad faith. But otherwise, healthcare proxy can do whatever he wants.
It would seem, meaning there's a huge inheritance waiting, things like that can be construed.
Right, they're almost never prosecuted.
Don't those people usually sign something beforehand?
Yeah, but if I'm the healthcare proxy,
does that override a living will?
Yeah, healthcare proxy overrides everything. He's my mouth. He's speaking now, as if which overrides any previous documentation.
You can sign a document instead.
That makes you speak for me whenever I can't speak, and it's as if you're speaking at the moment. I'm speaking the moment you're speaking. So the law was that a surrogate decision maker could not withdraw care, could not withdraw nutrition or ventilation, without clear and convincing evidence that that's what the patient would have wanted, but a healthcare proxy could. And then the new law changed that. That was the case of Nancy Cruzan. Nancy Cruzan. Well, they want to remove therapy from her, the very famous Supreme Court case, and they want to withdraw ventilation and nutrition. She was on both. She died.
Right. No, but they would. I think
sorry,
they would,
she had no
nutrition because I think they withdrew ventilation and she's.
No, that was Karen Ann Quinlan who lived for another 10 years after they withdrew it, and they said, "Aye, the law says you can't do it without clear and convincing evidence," and the Supreme Court said, "Yes, in theory, you." in Karen and Quinlan, sorry, in Nancy Kruzan, said you can remove therapy, but not for her, because there was a state law in Missouri that said you need clear and convincing evidence. So he said the federal right to your own health care does not override the state interest in that rule. And so there was no clear and convincing evidence, and she had to be kept alive. The day after the Supreme Court ruling, her friends remembered that in the bar one day, she really said that she really didn't want to live. And the judge let that through, which is a little bit crazy, but whatever. And then she died subsequently. Karen and Quinlan was a woman in New Jersey, the Supreme Court of New Jersey passing this, that you could remove ventilation. They didn't want to remove nutrition. They only wanted to remove ventilation. They removed ventilation, and she started breathing on her own and lived for another 9 years.
In a vegetative state.
In a vegetative state. They could have removed nutrition, too. The family was Catholic and thought that would violate their beliefs. I'm not possibly... That's what they said. For ventilation, yes. Actually, no. Anyway, back to Sicily Ezer. So he wants to deal with this very interesting question. Can you stop a ventilator? Which he's going to say no. And can you do a timer? Which we'll see what he says. So he says, if you look at the next page, he goes, I don't understand the difference in this, Ramo. And he's going to give you 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, or 6 different terutzim in the Ramo. So we'll just go through them. Many of them we saw already. How do we explain this chilik in the Ramah between the salt and the chot of etzim on the one hand and not removing the pillow on the other hand? So if you look on page Kofayin Dalet, Beis, he says, the Levush says that why is removing the pillow, right? The Shach already asks, removing the pillow, that's Asar Samonea, why should it be Asar? Because you're moving the guy. He says, so what if I can do it without moving the guy? So the Levush says, no. The feathers in the pillow work in such a way that you put them, when you remove them, it kills him sooner. Okay? So that's why it's usher. But any time you're removing anything would be mutter. So he says, if you look at the bottom the left column of page Kofayin Dali, he says, Vim came lefize b'inyinu by removing a ventilator. Sharas machshir ha'ansham ha'mlachus yisirak b'china shal asaras davar ma'akavit yasa nefesh. Removing the ventilator is only hasaras ha'moneh of removing an impediment to the soul's departure. The ain kol gorim shal kiruv misa. It's not making him die faster. Imi ba... So, okay, right? So therefore it should be mutter. Leave the rest of the paragraph out. Okay, he says it should be mutter. He says, yeah, so let's think about it. Okay, so that makes sense. Now read the rest of the paragraph. Im hi ba, acharei ha-mivchan ha-dach ha-dekeitev, you checked well, she'ein od pe'imos lev atzmusis, there's no spontaneous heartbeat, ve'ein gam shum shlita shel nipuach ha-reyes, and he's not able to breathe at all, mimerkazei ha-moach, the brain is not controlling breathing, ba'oven sha'asar yorak b'china shel asar esdavar ha-mak, v'tiyas nefesh b'lvat. And so removing the ventilator is only preventing the soul from leaving. So that would be Heter Gomer.
So he's already dead according to all categories.
Yes. Yeah. So Dr. Steinberg asked that question. He has no heartbeat. Rebind the Shalalem. But, okay. So.
Your point is that once.
No. No heartbeat. He said no. He's going to repeat it more than once.
No, but that's how could it?
Yeah. And he's going to ask him that kasha. And he's going to say again. No, he's going to keep going. Yeah.
Why couldn't you just say that?
He's dead.
The doctors know
so
that.
So why is he even a shadow?
No. This man, he says, has no heartbeat.
Why is there a shadow removing a ventilator from a cadaver?
He's dead in 5 minutes.
No, not 5 minutes.
He's dead. He's
mamish.
So he says.
He's dead in 5 minutes.
But that would be killing him if he dies in 5 minutes, he thinks, maybe.
I'm saying, whatever.
That's not what he's saying. And he's like, at one point, you go, why do you need a timer? Just shut off the machine. But we'll see it. So he didn't understand the question. So everyone quotes this. And doesn't quote the next tshuva. You need to quote the next two tshuvas.
What if we jump to hear from just a regular ventilator?
So that's what he thinks we're talking about.
The pillow,
So it seems to me that that's what he thinks we're talking about, right? The soul versus the pillow, he says, the levush says when you remove the pillow, remove the feathers, kills him sooner.
Okay.
So removing the ventilator doesn't actively kill him sooner. Should be mutter according to levush, right? He says, so in the patient who has no heartbeat and his brain's not working and can't breathe on his own, vaday, according to this, the levush, you should start off the ventilator.
What's the
he just realized what kind of.
It's even funny that he says that you have to be ma'ayin very well. If the guy has no heartbeat, you just put your hand in his chest, there's no heartbeat.
You do an EKG. Come on, be a doctor. Hey, Tev, you want to check well? You should not declare anyone dead in the hospital without an EKG. Come on. Stethoscope, something.
That's not.
Hey, Tev, okay. No, he's on the ventilator. He probably has an EKG hooked up. Okay, doesn't matter. But realize, according to Levush, it sounded like it should have been mutter. And he says, and therefore, it should be mutter, right? In such a patient, it's mutter, which is a little bit crazy, right? You'd think it would be in a patient who has no heartbeat and his brain's not working and he's not breathing.
Right. But what about...
Yeah.
But the pillow case is not such a...
I understand. So okay, he's not going to deal with that right now. He's going to deal with it in the next tshuva. So he says, what about the Taz Neshach? Taz Neshach say, what's the difference? The difference is, you're moving, is it in the Nua Kal or in the Nua Muat? Are you moving the patient a lot, moving him a little? He goes, shutting off the ventilator. You push a button. You don't touch the guy at all. Heter Gomer. According to the second pass, it should be mutter. You don't have to extubate him, just shut it off. Uh-huh. Turn off the button. You don't have to touch him at all. So according to the Shachantaz, in the patient without a heartbeat and whose brain's not working and isn't breathing, you could shut off the ventilator also. Okay? He's using all these resources. He's saying, this is who the Ramah's talking about. Right? He's saying, this is who the Ramah's talking about. So, well, he's not saying it. In the next Tshuva, he'll say it. Here he's just hinting at it. He pretty much says it.
He's
defining who the Ramah is talking about. Don't tell me Goseis. Who the Ramah is referring to. So, yeah?
This makes no sense.
Why does it make sense? He's saying, you have to keep him alive as long as possible. How could you even fathom the Ramah? Because the man's practically dead. That's why the Ramah says mutter. So he'll deal with this. He'll deal with why he's actually dead or not actually dead. He might not think he's actually dead, but yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it could be that the point is that he holds like those shittas that say that the person actually dies sometime after.
Sometime after
the vital signs leave, because that's when the neshama, leaves.
Calls money, he's ventilated, and the neshama can't leave. How do you know?
Stuck in the lungs.
I don't know when. No, why is it to be in the lungs? It could be stuck in the arm. But so long as the body's ventilated. The neshama that's in the fingernail is still there.
He's biologically dead, but he's spiritually
alive. Still alive? His neshama is still there? I don't know why.
You don't have to stop the neshama from leaving a biologically dead person.
But realize that he was saying all these things, and therefore it should be mutter. He's saying, yeah, it's mutter in such a patient. Meaning he thinks that the Ramah is referring to this patient. So the third sheet that he says in Hay, on Kufayin Hay, is the Shiariknes Zagdola. And he says, halfway down the page, he's quoting from the Sherek Nesagol, quoting from Sefer Matan Moshe. Shalom Ruba Eva Rabasi, within the Smachos, the Ein Kosher in the Chai of Chosar Advarm Shashanu Sham, the things that are Osir, Elak Shan the Shama in the Rotsa Lotes called Kach Mehera. The Ein Shem Davar Monasimi Lotes, Elo Shaloi Giazmano. Then the Shama doesn't want to leave, and it's not ready for the leave. As Ein Lassos called Vermelo Karmi Sasso, then you're not allowed to do any of these things that might hasten his death. Aval when the Shama wrote a lot things, Elohim Davar Mona Asomi lot things, Asmutel Hasir Davar Mona Elohim lot things. When the Shama wants to leave and something's preventing it, then you can let it go. How in the world are you supposed to know when the Shama wants to leave, when the Shama doesn't want to leave? I don't know. But he's saying that's the Chiluk in the Ramah. Those things that are Asir are when the Shama doesn't want to leave. Those things that are Mutter when the Shama wants to leave. So you can interrogate the Shama and find out what the status is. I'm not really sure how to deal with this. So he says no. He says if you look on page Kufayin Vav at the top. Ulufize mutter b'ni donein v'pshitis gam lo hasir me'acholo machshir an shami. Turn off the ventilator, begufo. Gam ima davar karch ba'asir shal kum va'asei. It's not about sheval ha'isen kum va'asei. He's going to matra kum va'asei. Page kufayin vav. Top right column. Top right. See kufayin vav? Right? B'yosu an neshama rotz alotzei. Se lo shamachshir esam monei otam ikal kach. He says the neshama wants to go. How does he know the neshama wants to go? Chais nish. But he says the neshama wants to go.
Because the brain's dead and the heart's dead.
And he's not breathing. But yeah. Aside from that, he's not putrefying. But okay. Fine, he's different. We'll leave that aside. He says, yeah. So, okay, so he has another teretz, maybe two terutzim, had it in, so he said, chasidim, and according to both of them, it should be mutter. Fine. It should sound like it should be mutter to remove the ventilator, according to all of these. So far, we've seen three different approaches. According to all three of them, he thinks it's mutter to remove a ventilator. This fourth one, he has a different chiluk and had to read understand it says Eliezer, the Sefer Chasidim, you can see it. He says, Bainul the first, Bainul the second should be mutter in this crazy patient who doesn't really exist. So, leaving the patient aside, well, what's pshat in the Ramah, right? Why are some things mutter, some things usher? Because if it's usher, it's usher in that patient also, right? Meaning, if he's already dead, why can't I put the maftechas to the Beis HaKnesses by his head?
Why can't you?
But he doesn't have a heartbeat, his brain's not working, and he's not breathing on his own, but I still can't put the maftechas to the Beis HaKnesses by his head. No, according to this sheet in the Kshirik Nes Sagdola, it depends if the Neshama wants to leave or not. That, he's saying, the Kshirik Nes Sagdola is saying, oh, the Ramah, what's Usher is before the Neshama wants to leave. What's Mutter is, so he could say that, when the Neshama wants to leave. So he says, if you look on page Kofayin Zion, he says, you know what, in the Darkei Moshe on the tour, he doesn't say, he just says, Aval Mutter Lahasir Davar Me'achar Yetzias HaNefesh. In the Hagos, the Shulchan Aruch, he says, Mipnei She'ena Ose Maisa. He wants to know what's pshat. Why did the Ramah write in one place your mutter the lahasir davar hamaakev itzias nevesh, and one place mitnei she'ena osa maisa? Is there a steer between the two things? Why did he change his lashon? So he says, really, 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 in ches, everything is really one. Since he's going to give you his theory now on the Ramah. Lachen l'firei l'fani yuzdaiti peiros shakol teiros v'chiluk echadu. V'yesod zvaras achiluk bein k'shemeser gorim shaya osr la'asoso olo hu bezet. He's saying there are certain things you're not allowed to do to a person to keep him alive, right? If he's dying, he says you shouldn't keep him alive suffering. The k'shemeser gorim shaya osr la'asoso. Mikaven shu gorim kaze shaya osr la'asoso kadesh l'yomus mehera. Simen hu shayadavar hazeh enu mevi chiyutz atzmis lagoses. If it's something that you're not allowed, right? He thinks there's certain things you're not supposed to do to prevent death, right? So if you did it and it's, you're not supposed to do it, it proves that that which you're doing doesn't provide chiyus atzmis, independent life force, whatever that means. Umekevesh ino vechiyus atzmis achen motor la'asiro, because it doesn't grant chiyus atzmis. We're going to use his lashon because I don't know what that means. Then you're allowed to remove it, right? Because you're only removing some external thing that's giving chiyus chitzonis. You can't move him. Why? When you're moving him, you're mafsik the chiyus atzmis. All the things that are aser are because you're going to stop the chiyus atzmis. All the things that are mutter are going to be because he has no chiyus atzmis, he only has a chiyus chitzonis. So if you look in the next paragraph, when you remove something external, which is only granting chiyus chitzoni, there's no chiyus atzmi, there's nothing independent, nothing inherent. You're not allowed to put something external that's not going to grant the guy actual life to prevent his neshama from leaving. It's not about kumvas and shevaltes, it's about chiyus atzmis and chiyus eino atzmis. Levein heichas yisol adayin chiyus atzmi kolshu, when he has chiyus atzmi kolshu. V'asher bepeulos agorim la'asiyas maise shal krevas yisiyas on neshama she'osir. If he has chiyus atzmi and you do something that's going to remove that chiyus atzmi, that's kir of misa, that's ratzicha, that's osir. So he says it has nothing to do in kavanos lechalik ben peulos shal shevaltes levein peulos shal kumvas. It all comes down to chiyus atzmi or not chiyus atzmi.
The case
of where
you can't remove the
solids. He has no chiyus atzmi. So now we're going to try to figure out what in the world is chiyus atzmi. So we know chiyus eino atzmi, when he doesn't have a heart, he told me I can remove the ventilator. When he doesn't have a heartbeat and his brain's not working and his lungs not working, so he has no chiyus atzmi. So, okay, corpses don't have chiyus atzmi either. But maybe somewhere before that, there's also the fact that this doesn't, that doesn't mean that that's a limitation. So he says, in tests, if you look down, both in Shiatzalan of Yahomer, Shigama Libet Ramah, Mutter Bidin Doing Lassos, if you look at Maisa Bekumvase, Kedil Hashimachir Nishima. According to Ramah, you can turn off the ventilator. It's not about Kumvase and Sheval Taise.
Who's to say that the Nishima has already left if the guy's not breathing?
He said. How do you know it did?
No, but he's making an assumption. I'm not saying my assumption is better than
that. Oh, you make a lot of assumptions. Oh, yes. He says, of course you can shut off the ventilator. You can shut off the ventilator. What do you, how can me a Chinese with this timer? You're only stopping this life force that's coming from outside. You're not preventing chiyus atzmi. So now you keep reading the next paragraph. Good thing he put in this paragraph. You took off the machine to see if he's alive or not. It went off by itself. Right? It went off by itself. Right, whatever reason, or you needed, they used to be attached to oxygen tanks, so you had to replace the oxygen tank. So in between replacing it, you can see if he's breathing on his own. So you think if he's breathing on his own. Umisbar, she'ein lo kvar chiyus atzmi. He has no chiyus atzmi, so what would you say? If when it turns off, he has no chiyus atzmi, you don't have to turn it back on. I'm only providing a chiyus chitzon, you don't have to turn it back on. So now he tells me how to determine chiyus atzmi. Lo mehamoach, not in the brain, velo mehalev, and not in the heart. It's also to turn it back on. His brain's not working. His heart's not working. What are you preventing the neshama from leaving? Apparently, the neshama hasn't left yet. But he has no heartbeat and his brain is not working.
Isn't that last line assuming that there has to be one? Like you?
No.
If both are gone?
He says both. Wow. First of all, it's Sitzliezer. So it's clear that both are gone. Because that's clear from many other tshuvas. That he doesn't think you're dead unless. Well, not both. He really thinks you're only dead when your heart stops beating. But that has nothing to do with this. He thinks when you're... That's when the sun leaves. Okay? So, yeah. Yeah, so that's a problem. Right? So he says that... So therefore, according to the Ramah, according to his understanding of the Ramah, you should be able to shut off a ventilator because a ventilator is not providing chiyus atzmi. Chiyus atzmi means... So, meaning chiyus atzmi, therefore, when he has no heartbeat and has no brain function. So it sounds like a heartbeat and brain function are chius atzmi, and if I would have to define what is an inherent life force, I would tell you that breathing is an inherent life force, a heartbeat is an inherent life force, and neurological control over your body is a chius atzmi. If I had to define what they were, those are them. So long as you have them, you're alive, he doesn't even say it, but it's l'shitase, right? So long as you're alive, you have to do everything to save this person. So mehechi tesev yiraman now lets you take things out. No, so called when you have chiyus atzmi, you have to save the person. When you have no chiyus atzmi, you no longer have a chiyus pekoch nefesh. So you have to find the person who has no chiyus atzmi, and that's what the Rama is referring to. This crazy case. So he then goes on. The Aruch HaShulchan gives you a different teretz, and he doesn't like it. And maybe yes, maybe no. It would be mutter, wouldn't be mutter. But
would a person with an artificial heart who stops breathing momentarily, would he be considered dead?
A person with an artificial heart, so according to who?
I don't know, it's just...
It's a good kasha.
It just seems that, because he's saying that if you stop breathing, if you have not breathing in your heart...
Well, it gets to go ahead into reversibility and how reversibility plays into the artificial heart.
He's assuming it's not reversible.
Yeah, oh no, this person who's on the ventilator and his brain's not working, he's not breathing, he's not heartbeat, he's not reversible. Okay. And this is Eliezer, who thinks that it's the theoretical potential for reversibility is determination of death. Okay. Right? You have to put all the Tzitzilezers together. Okay, if you go a couple of pages later on Kuf Pei, he's going to summarize what he thinks. Okay, in Yudalit, call chole ha'huva lecheder miyon achar tuun anyone who's accident victims har ala afilo elo shenim ach mocham, their brain is crushed. Yesh levatzei abuyat kol pulos achiyav shariyos. You should start CPR and do everything you can. Kol chibur lekol machshir makayam, connect him to everything and put him on a timer. And then you'll be able to see, keep going, and you'll see, maybe...
I mean, he has no heartbeat or...
No, now he does. Now we don't know. Connect him, okay. And we'll put him on a timer. And when the timer goes off, we'll see. Does he have chiyus atzmi or not? If he has no chiyus atzmi, so you don't have to return the timer back on. And I think it's a great idea. I think it's a great idea. He says, Intaka, I don't really understand why you need this. You could really turn it off. He goes, maybe... It seems like his assumption is you can't make the assessment, does this person have chiyus atzmi or not, when he's on the ventilator, right? It sounds like, he doesn't say it explicitly, to me it sounds like that's what Pshat and Sitzel
is. Well, that's clear enough.
He's not saying it.
That's
no, I can tell if he has a heartbeat or he's breathing on his own or his brain's working while he's on the ventilator.
Oh, yeah.
I can, Lamaisa.
You can't. You can't.
He's no EKG, he's a flatline EKG.
Maybe he's still breathing?
Maybe still, I can tell by the ventilator, the fancy ventilator.
Okay.
And I can tell if he has neurological control over his body. I can test it. He seems to be like...
You can't do the feather test.
I can't do the feather test. You can't see if he's actually breathing. Fine. But he seems to think that cold man that the ventilator is on, you can't tell. If you could tell, turn it off. He's dead. I mean, not dead. If you can tell that he has no chiyus atzmi, so you can turn it off. There's no reason you can't turn it off. So this, the timer just gives you a hechitimsa that just in case you couldn't figure it out on your own, now figure it out. And if he has chiyus atzmi, memela, according to the Tzitzel's previous tshuva, you have a chiyuv to turn it back on. Right? Because he's a geisus, and you have to keep him alive as long as possible. So, memeil, if he has chiyus atzmi, you have to turn it on. If he has no chiyus atzmi, turn it off.
I'm like, yeah, so you don't need a timer.
Well, you need a timer just because you... If I can't tell if he has chiyus atzmi or not, what am I going to do? Let's see Tzitzel Yezim Halach. He's assuming you can't tell. So what can you do? Turning it off is aser, because he's alive. He has suffix. Might be a suffix. So he's alive. So if I have a timer, I can then tell if he has chiyus atzmi, turn it back on. If he has no chiyus atzmi, you can leave it off. Today we could tell. So if someone has no heartbeat and is not breathing, has no neurological control over their body, I'm going to tell you from the Tzitzel Eliezer, you can shut off the ventilator. I would also tell you that everybody else on the planet would say he's dead, shut off the ventilator. But even according to the Tzitzel Eliezer, it would be mutter. The Japanese would not. So okay. So we had a lot of kashas on this mahalach, right? This what? That's what the Rama is talking about. I have no idea what you're talking about. That's crazy. The Rama is talking about someone who has no heartbeat. So Dr. Steinberg had the same problem. We're in good company. So if you look at the next page, this is from Chelik Yudalit of Tzitzel Eliezer. So this is never quoted. Everyone who wants to say, ventilators on timers are a good idea, quotes Tzitzel Eliezer. You see that Tzitzel Eliezer endorsed ventilators on timers. Yeah, and he said you don't have to restart it if the man has no heartbeat. But short of that, you can't tell me that Tzitzel Eliezer endorsed putting ventilators on timers in what they're being currently used.
For dead people.
Right. What they want to do now, they want to do is, no, have the ventilator on a timer, and if... Right, and the person who's not dead, and so that we won't be, so that
he can take him
that b'shev al taisa, I won't violate turning it off. But he says it's not about b'shev al taisa kumbase, it's about chiyus atzmi, not chiyus atzmi. It was very clear. So now many people want to quote the Tzitzel Eliezer as allowing ventilators, and therefore should get us out of the problem of the b'shev al taisa kumbase. The Tzitzel Eliezer only allowed turning off.
How's it no one detected this?
They did take it. We'll talk about it. We'll get to it. It's in the packet. So it's a large packet. But let's just get through the two more tuvas here, the three tuvas, and maybe someone has. So now Dr. Steinberg says, I understand. So we'll just read it. So first of all, this is on Simon Pei in Chelik Yudalid. The question is, what in the world were you talking about, Rabbi? Like, that made no sense in the Ramah. You're talking about a guy without a heartbeat? Why in the world are we ventilating him? Right? Why are we ventilating this patient without a heartbeat? Now, Sicily is like, oh, he's going to tell you, I don't know why you're ventilating this patient. Don't. Turn it off. That's what he's going to say. He goes, and that's what the Ramah was talking about? And he's going to say, yeah. So this is a tshuva from Yud Aleph Tevis to Dr. Steinberg. The only reason I point out Yud Aleph Tevis is because the next one's from Yud Ches Tevis. Because he wrote back, and he wrote back already. Like, they're very chop chop. So he says, "B'divrei tshuva," in the second paragraph, "B'divrei tshuva hidgati chazor v'hadgeish." Sheheder asaras machshir anesimah shani kozev babi glalze. Why? Mipnei shamikra. I'm telling you what case. Shamikra meduvaru behechi shalifnei chinit bar beofen echlati shein lo kvar chiyus atzmi lo mehamoach velo mehalev. We're talking about a guy who has no chiyus atzmi, not from his brain and not from his heart. That is who we're talking about. This is the person who you can shut off a ventilator from. He said no heartbeat and no brain control. Both.
No, what he just said here was, meaning he doesn't have neither the heart nor
the brain. Right.
Is causing him to respirate.
No, he didn't say the word respirate anywhere here. And it's a steer to what he said later, but he didn't say it.
Why can't you just shut off the ventilator for a second? I mean, physically without a timer, see if he's.
Because maybe he's alive, maybe you're going to harm him. You're right. In the Hanami, if you don't think he has a heartbeat, right, you have a good reason to think he doesn't have a heartbeat. He doesn't have a pulse. You listen with a stethoscope. It makes a lot of sense. So he's going to be pretty much mimoed at that point.
No, but he's saying you have to use a timer.
No, he's going to say, I don't know why you're using this timer, homework. Shut it off. Right. If you can mivar, shut it off. See, and he says, read next to the beginning line, next paragraph. V'im kain, ein lovo klal v'ikar la'asos ha'shvalas ilistam geises. This has nothing to do with the geises. This is a guy with no chiyus atzmi. A ghost has a chiyus atzmi. I say, Gamsha Rove, ghosts in Lamisa, but they're alive. Next paragraph. Veleika mimela gam lidivre kvodam mechtavo. For Dr. Steinberg wrote, Zolomid lahatir asarasone bechol mikras and mugdar kagosis. Dr. Steinberg wanted to use this to about ghostsim. He says, no! Not true. The gam mimela makum lishay, ain't gam mimela makum lishay losar samosif lisholim nemar rexas of lisurin. Yisurim are not relevant. Chiyas atzmi or not chiyas atzmi. That's all it comes down to.
So chiyas atzmi is life.
If you have chiyas atzmi, you have inhe. They're both life. Chiyas eino atzmi still.
Chiyas atzmi meaning my body is maintaining my life.
I said inherent, innate chiyas, as opposed to external chiyas. So it sounds like both are chiyas. The neshama hasn't left. Would a Kohen, if you asked the Tzitz Eliezer, would this person who's on the ventilator without a heartbeat be Metami Be'oel, he would tell you no.
Right, because what is controlling the life? Is it me or something?
Right, the Neshama is still there. The life is there. Just where is it coming from? So he says, what about, so next on the top of the next column, he says, what about other things? He says, and you want to know, what about, forget oxygen. What about blood and antibiotics and all sorts of things? He says, okay. Let me be clearer in case I wasn't. So he probably didn't say it quite as dramatically as I'm reading it. But v'tshuvasihi imedubar v'heichas ein lolo v'lo yelo kvar chiyus atzmi. He doesn't have chiyus atzmi, he'll never have chiyus atzmi, right? It's irreversible. Kigon shemechubar el machshir anishima azayim asar esaraf sakat machshir shama muter lahafsi kol aniskar. You shut off everything. What's the difference? What's the difference, oxygen or anything else? If it's all external, there's no chiyus atzmi, you can stop everything. Aval, but... kifish ani mevin... It sounds like from your question, this guy has chiyus atzmi. He's just a ghost who most likely will die. You have to try to do everything. That's why you're doing it. You're trying to extend his chayisha. If he has chiyus atzmi, you're not allowed to stop anything. It's very clear. It's very easy to understand. When you have chiyus atzmi, you have to do everything, and you're not allowed to stop anything. And when you have no chiyus atzmi, you can stop everything. And not only can you stop everything, it's also to start things, because you're not allowed to be mafsik, stopping the sun from going out. See, I don't understand. Your kasha doesn't make any sense. Yeah, okay, in the realm, and he says, and the doctors do pretty bad things. Fine.
And their mouth talking to a person who didn't have cleosotomy.
Hmm?
Their mouth, where you say you can take away the salt.
It sounds like that. Wait, it's going to get clear. So Dr. Steinberg asked your question. He goes, I don't understand. That doesn't sound like what the Rama is talking about, right? So he doesn't really address the Rama in this tshuva. Let's just see the last paragraph of this tshuva, page kof mem vav, end of pay, and then we'll stop. And then we'll see the next tshuva, and we'll stop. Alken ladaiti barah hadavar she'erofesh yochol lazer l'cholak hazeh laharech lo b'chachmach revuasar tzachayim. If you can extend his life, v'lo afilu b'miktas, u'befrat gam l'hokal at tzivlo v'enosek, and especially to remove his pain, who over chivu v'minatar l'rapos chol Yisrael. You can keep him alive for a little bit longer. You have a chiv to do so. So he goes, so fine. So Dr. Steinberg is confused like Adam is confused. That's what the Rama is really talking about. Right? He didn't really address the Rama in his tshuva. He goes, so Dr. Steinberg wrote back. Right? So he sent it to him on Yud Aleph Elul. Dr. Steinberg probably got the next day. He wrote something back. And he wrote back on Yud Ches Elul. Tavis, sorry. 1978. So he says, I repeat it again and again and again and again. We're talking about someone with no ein lo kvar chiyus asmi lo mehamoch velo mehalev. He's quoting himself. So in the second column here, under Aleph, about halfway down, Shol kvodam chotev, didvarm elu lo muvanim lo. Ki'im omnam elu kvar chiyos me'amach me'alev ke'echad, halohu meis gomor l'kol adeyes. Ubaros shel meis gomor ein shelos l'afzakas tachshir tipol alkan. Right? He's dead. So what are you talking about? This man's dead. Of course I don't have to keep him alive. V'ashivenu, et ha'ami, davar ha'heder shel... shall hasaras amachshir shani kozev bonu be'emes al yisod ze mipnei shu kvar nechshav kemeis. Vashela is maybe he has vashela sheyeshnim bezeh who biyoshim murgas bochius al yidegorim chitzoni asher noten tnuah begufo, something external is causing his body to move. V'gam moneah me'aguf sheyeshu debo simani misan, it's preventing putrefaction. Kichol v'rikovan v'kadome, oh, he's not turning blue, sorry, k'kohol, and he's not putrefying. Valzeh, that's what I said. Okay. And he keeps going down. U'mikevesh neizbar she'en kol chiyus atzmis b'vachu v'alev, u'baser husham b'li machshir anishim u'b'chinas meis, mutar lori laser es machshira, machshir. Without the machshir, he'd be dead. He'd be dead, right? We all agree that once you shut off this machine, there's no even question for anybody, he's dead. I thought he was dead before. He goes, then Badeh's wanted to turn it off. There's luckily, is he dead now, is he dead later? That's like, he says, but I don't understand. He's dead. He goes, and Achinami, that's really what it's based on. So he wants to make sure there's no misinterpreting this position. Now you have to realize this in a second, the chelik after, so people don't always quote this. Prat lahotzi min ha'omer, im kon en adayin eza safik, she'ula yeshna od nekudas chiyus atzmis b'leivu nishmas ruach ach, she'iyav shalavade. There's a safik, maybe, there's a little stick of chiyus atzmi left in his heart or in his breathing. Now he doesn't say brain. The yesh magom lachshos kol shushulai etzem anituk yigrom lemoso, and turning off his ventilator will actually extinguish that chiyus atzmi. Azay beemes aser od la aser machshir neshima. You can't turn it off, right? He's repeating himself again because, like, I mean, I read it, but like before, so I sort of know what he's going to say. But otherwise, this is very unclear. He's trying to be. I don't. That's exactly what he's saying. So if you look in the next column, he says, and what about the Rama? Like we sort of said the Rama. So in Beis umashik about the mosif, but the Rama. It sounds like he's talking about a gosei zman. He says gosei zman aroch. He doesn't say this chiyus atzmi, chiyus ein atzmi. He says no. If you lehine tshuvasi baze ketshuvasi amor leil upshad kavanas divrei haramahi mikaven shereka melech shalishonu okol adovik me'akav etzias nefesh azay ein kvar chayim atzmaim. This is a person without chiyus atzmi. Ve'chiyus yichiyus abam minachutz v'lachin matil hazir amoneya. He says that's all. Well, the difference is, there's no difference. The Ramah is talking about someone who has no chiyus atzmi, and a chenami. So for the tzitzel yezer, I think it's clear. Anybody with a heartbeat who is breathing or has neurological control over his body, usually companies with a heartbeat, is alive. Therefore, you have to do everything in your power to keep him alive as long as possible. What's the Rama talking about? The Rama is talking about someone who has no chiyus atzmi. Chiyus atzmi means anything inherent whatsoever. Heartbeat, breathing, and neurological control. Is he dead? He goes, he's like, it's as if he's dead. I don't know why you're doing this pula. Forget the timer. Shut off the machine. So that's the Sisalias' approach. So you would therefore, I think, to extrapolate from him, the heter, to use a timer on the ventilator is a little bit... being dishonest. If you're saying the Tzitzel Ezer allowed it, the Tzitzel Ezer did not allow it. You want to say other people post him allow it, that's fine. You have the svaras. He says, I don't see the whole point of the svara, because according to Tzitz Eliezer, yeah, when it goes off, you'll see if he has me turned back on. If he has no chizatmi, so you should have turned it off earlier. You just didn't know that you should have, so now vada you should turn it off and definitely don't reconnect it.
So it would help in certain situations.
If it would help if you don't know what the matzav is, it would help to know the matzav.
If you know the matzav.
But meaning the reason we're putting let's be blunt again. The reason we're putting the patient on the ventilator is to let him die. The Tzitz Eliezer is not putting him on the ventilator to let him die, because if he's still alive, you have to continue it. You're only during out. Should I have turned it off earlier and didn't know? Today, I think we would know.
You'll know when to turn off.
Could you tell with absolute certainty that he's not breathing when he's on the ventilator? No. You can't tell with absolute certainty if he's not breathing on the ventilator. But you can't breathe without a heartbeat. You can't. You can't breathe without a heartbeat. And so, if the man has no heartbeat, so I know he's not breathing, and he's not having any neurological control over his body, which I can test while he's on the ventilator, which I can do, maybe, I don't know what the cylinder assumed in 1978. Today, we vowed they can. And you probably could have in 1978 also, you was probably not aware of it, then you wouldn't need this timer. Just when that happens, turn off the ventilator. The timer is only Hechi Timtza to help him figure this out. And he's like, well, maybe turning it off will kill him if he asks me. So, okay, so you have a timer for that purpose, but there's no reason for the timer in our modern day situation. So I think the opinion of the Tzitz Eliezer is clear. I think it's easiest to understand, as long as you can define what Chiyus Atzmi is. But we'll see that Rav Shlomo Zalman, we'll do Rav Shlomo Zalman next time, and then we'll see the Israeli law. I give you the right pages, the appropriate pages here, and then the analysis of the timers on ventilators and what's that based on. And, yeah. All right. Excellent.